This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 92. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer, real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hello.
Hey, Craig, how's it going?
Things are going great.
Have you checked our voicemails recently?
I get emails from and I have not gotten a single one. Zero. Oh,
come on, people. We're counting on you.
Nah, if they text me or call at that phone number, yeah, I get it as a Gmail notification that I can go back and get it. Nope, nothing. Nothing. Otherwise,
well,
I'd rather
not say then
it.
then you're all just stuck listening to us.
Yeah. 989-888-7625 or 989-888-ROCK. Makes it easier to remember.
Yeah.
What we got in this show?
Well, we're going to start out with from an article that you found, 23 Reasons You Will Always Be Poor. Boy, that's a downer.
I know. Sorry.
And then we've got a couple of social media. Then we've got a couple social media questions to wrap it up.
Awesome. 23 Reasons You'll Always Be Poor. And it's from a website called GoBankingRates.com, which I don't know, but I'm giving them credit for it. And we'll put the link in the show notes for it. I glanced at it, I'm like, yep, it's all the stuff we talk about, and I thought we'd go through the list pretty quickly,
right.
And I think it basically covers everything and just, once again, reiterates everything we talk about. So, we'll just throw in our thoughts on each item. Number one, you're stuck in a debt trap. Now, what they're talking about in this one is you get desperate when you're poor, you start panicking, and what you end up doing, those payday loans.
Yeah, payday loans, debt settlement scams, using a credit card for emergency, or, you know, these credit card companies send you those blank checks, basically, which are really just borrowing at a different interest rate. All of those things.
And the basic thing, premise behind number one is when you get stressed, you make bad decisions and you start doing those things. And when you get into that, what kind of interest rates are we talking about on some of these loans?
Oh, some of them are like 400% per year.
And they are designed for you to never get out of them.
Yeah, and that's not an exaggeration. That's literally 400%.
And it is legal, which boggles my mind that is legal in the United States, but it is. It just... Yeah. Number two.
So all of those things just perpetuate being stuck into debt because then you're going to have a hard time paying that back. Or a lot of these payday loans, well, they're so kind. They're just going to let you roll over your debt week to week and just pay the interest on them. Yeah. But at 400%, you're going to be paying really through your teeth.
It is sad. And you can't get out of it. It usually does not end well. Number two, you're ignoring your big debts. Like student loans and
right.
And the premise behind this is you typically can lower the interest rates and there's various programs you can get involved to take care of them. But all you're doing is you're ignoring it and just paying it without really considering what you really have. Student loans is the biggest example of that.
That and mortgages. Yeah.
Mortgages too. You're like, well, I'll wait for the rates to go lower. And then they end up going the other way or something like that. I know the current environment, they're low and they'll probably be low for a while, but that's typically not what happens. So,
right.
You should be refinancing your home now and get locked in, be done with it.
Yeah, only if it will save you more than a percentage point.
Yeah, sorry. Number three, you feel powerless.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, like number one, you feel like there's nothing you can do. And then depression settles in. You don't have the will to work or find ways to get out. And you just feel like you're done.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck there. Yeah. And then if you have a plan of attack, you do feel like you have some control. And we call that the baby steps.
Yeah. Like, so have a plan and then work the plan. And you working the plan gives you that sense of control.
That's the same with anything in life, though. If you have a plan and you have a path, things do seem a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we reiterate that over and over again. Number four, they have down, you haven't learned about personal finance.
That's a biggie, but that's why we're here to help.
Now, I posted today in the group, I was never taught basic personal finance. It was not in schools. My parents never told me anything. I figured it out on my own. You know, it wasn't till my 30s. If I'd known earlier, I'd be much better off than I am now. I would have made stupid decisions. I think all of us
You still would have made some stupid decisions, but...
Well, I'm a guy. That is definitely what would happen.
No, I think people just have to learn sometimes for themselves. You know?
Yeah.
But at least you'd have the background to make fewer stupid decisions.
Number five, you only pay with credit.
Yeah. So that's an interesting one. And I guess the main reason we say cut up your credit cards when you're working to get out of debt and build wealth is it's fake money. Your mind doesn't really register it as the consequences of depleting your funds. You know, and I'm really upset that the Monopoly game has gone from cash money to these little fake credit cards. Because I think it just starts people early on this whole path of just swiping cards. And really? It's fake. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But if you have paper money and you can see it getting that pile getting smaller, you behave differently than if you don't have, you know, a tangible pile to look at of your money depleting, then you act very differently.
As we move into the future, I'm afraid we're going to see that go away more and more, that everything will be digital.
Yeah.
Which is probably not a good thing for people that don't know how to handle money. That just becomes a number and they don't really feel any pain.
I mean, it's a great thing for the banking industry because they love collecting interest from you.
Oh, yeah. And that's, well, we don't want to get political or anything, but that is how the world works. So it will be here and it ain't going away. So number six, you put today's happiness before your future financial needs.
Yeah.
Huge. Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah. Not having this discipline for delayed gratification.
Yeah. I have to have the latest iPhone 12 because it has so many new features over the 11. So I need to get that now. No, there isn't.
I mean, so Craig, have you suffered from this before?
Yes.
Yes, me too. It's a perfectly natural human thing.
Of course.
Yeah, but to want to impulsively.
There is something else coming up that's related to that, and I should have reorganized this so it was categorized. So we'll get to it later, but it's related back to that. Probably why I made those mistakes. But I really don't buy stuff like I used to at all. Even you're shocked sometimes that the Prime Day.
Yeah.
I bought zero, nothing. You were like, really?
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah. Number seven, you lack an emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that a million times.
Yes. So that's steps one and three of the plan.
Right. And that can relate back to the first thing we talked about where something happens, you don't have the money, and you've got fund money somewhere. So you get a payday loan or you title your car, or you get a high interest rate or use your credit card, and then you get stuck, and not having that money put away for those emergencies will perpetuate you down this whole rabbit hole that you can't get out of. It'll be very difficult based on the emergency. I mean, I told you about my roof. Oh, what I didn't tell you. I just bought a new dishwasher.
Oh, but not a refrigerator yet.
Oh, no, I'm ready to do that next.
Okay.
But this dishwasher is Samsung.
Why?
I have repaired this thing every 6 months. I have to do something to it. This time, I think the pump broke. I'm like, I said, I'm not going to repair it. I'm getting it out of here. So I have emergency fund money to replace it. And I'm going to do the refrigerator next, by the way, with Costco. But using the gift card I got from the air conditioner I bought. So basically cost me nothing. Well,
that's a good plan.
Yeah. So, no, I have a plan for it. But, you know, these little things happen. Now, if I was renting, I wouldn't be doing all this. But because I own the house, I have to do it. So
right.
Samsung. Next, you're not making savings a priority.
Yeah.
We hear that with the with their 401ks and just putting that money away. You've gotten rid of your commercial debt and you got your emergency fund, and the next one's the 401k, and people want to not do that as much. And that's going back to living for today and not tomorrow.
So do you use a written budget, Craig?
Yes.
And do you have a line item for saving?
I have a zero balance, but that extra money goes into a bank account. And then I see what I build it up, and then I'm like, all right, I'm going to put it here. Do I do a IRA or do I buy stocks with it? Because I'm at this stage where I can choose my investment.
Yeah, no, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. Is you have a line item in your budget for saving.
Yes, and I put it in a different bucket, in a different bank account, so it's not in my regular money.
Right.
Because at Ally, you can make different buckets there, like 10 different buckets. So I put that in a different bucket, which I like how they do that. So I just put that somewhere else. So anyway, number 10, you're spending too much on housing.
Yeah. So what should people, well, like what percentage of their take home pay should people be maximum using each month for housing?
I like to get people down to 20%.
Yeah. 20 to 25%. Yeah, 20-25%.
But yeah, not above 25. 25 is the absolute roof on that.
Right. But so many people out there are paying close to 50% of their take home pay or more in housing costs.
And going back to what you said earlier, why is that? Because the banks allow them to do that.
The banks allow it, or they think that they need a bigger space because they have another baby and think that each kid needs their own bedroom, which is not true at all. But
Nope.
Yeah. So then they're house poor.
Yep. Number 11, you don't have a money plan. Mm. We just talked about that, having a budget, which is number 12 also. You don't know where your money is going. So basically the same thing in a roundabout
way. Did you skip number 9?
I may have. Oh,
all right.
Number 9, you don't course correct your finances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this one's about using your creativity and critical thinking skills so that you can find and implement, you know, cost effective alternatives, whether it's negotiating insurance rates, switching banks, or planning your next vacation. You know, I also like to think that budgets are kind of like diets, right? Nobody likes them, but it's really, in both cases, it's a plan, and sticking to the plan is important. But people fall off the wagon, and that's okay. You just got to get yourself up, dust yourself off, and get back on the plan. And that's part of the course correction. When things aren't working exactly as they should, and you're not making the progress you need to on the plan, it's time to course correct.
There you go. Number 11 and 12 are basically the same thing. One is you don't have a money plan, which you talked about back on 9, and you don't know where your money is going.
Right. You need to tell your money where to go. Otherwise, you're going to be wondering where it went.
Yeah. Number 13, which you've talked about this, you've used this word many times. You don't separate wants from needs.
Or maybe
you don't know what the definition of a want and what the definition of a need is.
Yeah, we just talked about this with the housing costs. You know, you don't need a house that matches the number of bedrooms with the number of children you have. You need a roof over your head.
Right.
You want a bigger house so that each kid has their own space, but that's not a need. You know, we see people who think that they need an SUV or a minivan just because they're having kids. No, those are wants. And you don't need a brand new car because you have some delusion that that means it's safer than a used car.
I saw a post in our group. Somebody was debating pulling their money out of 401k for a car. I don't know if you saw that post. And it went on. Cool. And then I had to ask, well, how much is this used car you're buying? They said $25,000.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's a want. That's not need. And I don't think they like my answer. I said, well, you probably need to write that down to 10.
Yeah, and even that's high. I mean, you need transportation. So it can be a rust bucket as long as it gets you from point A to B.
But if they want a 25, I'm not picking on the person. Chances are they're not listening. Just from the way they were talking. Yeah, they want because they're probably worried about what people think they're driving. So that's usually what that comes down to. Here's number 14. You have no degrees or training. I want to emphasize the training part, because you don't have to have a degree to make income. But, and now in their text of this article, they're pushing the need to have a degree. I disagree with that. You need to have
training. Yeah, I do as well, unless you have a solid plan and a path. That's exactly what you need in order to meet your goal. If it's not a requirement of your the career that's your goal, then I agree with you, Craig.
Like if you're going to be a brain surgeon,
you need a degree.
Yeah. If you want to be a tradesman or some like that, tradesperson, AC, electrical, all kinds of diesel mechanic, that's training.
Right.
Yeah, you don't mean.
You know, the other thing I hear is a couple of times in the last week, I've heard people say, like, when we ask, what is your goal? And they say, well, I want to own a business or two. I want to be an entrepreneur. Like, what does that mean?
Oh, my God.
If you don't know exactly what business you want and you have no passion and you can't say, well, what business is it that I want to run? Then you have no business being an entrepreneur. And people say, well, I need to go to college and get a business degree so that I can be an entrepreneur. No, it's the opposite. It goes the opposite direction. You need to know that you like have an entrepreneurial spirit and then get the training that you need. And knowledge that you need. You don't need a degree. You need the knowledge. And that can come from an associate's degree or, you know, a lot of reading of books. You can be self-taught. You need the knowledge, not the degree.
Nice. Nice soapbox. I like that.
I hate that when people are like, I want to be a business owner, but they have no idea what kind of business they want to run.
And the other part I really am passionate about is people when they say entrepreneur.
Yes.
I don't think they understand what the term really means. They just like
people are romanticizing these terms.
Yeah. Gary V, which I love listening to him. Yeah. It drives him nuts because he's an entrepreneur, but he goes, people just come up with this word. They don't understand what that really means. It means you're working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week is what that really, but no one wants to do that.
Because people have this romantic notion that if you're the one who owns the business, you can just punch out at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and your people do the rest of the work.
No, you're working until 11 o'clock at night. You're getting up at 4 or 5 in the morning. You're starting again.
You're working harder than anyone, and all the stress and responsibility is weighing on your shoulders, and you're the one losing sleep.
Yeah. So. And if you don't do that, it doesn't work out well.
So you better have a very clear idea on exactly what type of problem you're solving and what business that means you're running. Because it'll get old quick otherwise.
Oh, you better be passionate about it or it doesn't work. Number 15, you're investing in stuff instead of yourself, which really gets back to number 14, because always learning something, you know, taking classes, getting new certifications like you do, that's investing in yourself or your health and mind and body and all that as well. That's the way I look at it. But people buy TVs, they do all that. All that stuff.
Or a $25,000 used car.
Right. And that doesn't do anything for you at all. You need to invest in yourself. And a lot of people miss out on that. Like during this virus thing was a perfect time for people to learn new skills. Anything you want to learn is available online. Literally anything. Basket weaving underwater is on there. I mean, anything you want to learn, you can do it. Or try new things. You're at home. What else are you doing? I'm real passionate about that. Mm. People have really thrown away an opportunity. I know a lot of bad things happen with the virus, but I'm talking about people at home, locked down. They had perfect opportunities and they put Netflix over top of that.
I feel like you're speaking to me personally, Craig.
Sorry. I don't mean to be, but you are like, but you work extremely hard. You're not, you have like 15 gazillion certifications. I'm talking about the people that are not investing. They're not out there busting their butt. Like, okay, let's say you just got a rental property, which you did. How many hours did you put into getting that thing ready?
75, maybe, over 5 days.
But you're out there busting your butt. You are, trust me, you're working. You know who I'm talking about.
And that's not even counting the hours that go into preparing and planning for that, because, you know, it's a project. You have to be a project manager to have everything. All the stars align so it all lands in the time period you have for it. And guess what? It's already listed as of Friday and there's already showing set up this week.
There you go. I'm talking about the people that are posting on Facebook
Hell, I'm stuck at home for the next few months. So what is there on Netflix? I need some recommendations. I'm talking about those people. And yep. then you see the next post. Does anybody know where I can work part time or, you know, they need money? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you need to feed your mind with positive things that are going to advance you. So garbage in is garbage out.
That's why I have not watched TV in ages. It's been great. I'm so happy. What we got next? Oh, I love number 16. You're trying to get rich quick.
You mean like buying a lottery ticket?
Lottery tickets, Robin Hood, all the stock trading, buying all these crazy... I'm not allowed to talk about stocks. That is a rule on the show, right?
Not like, individual stocks, no.
Like buying Nikola and all this crazy... Come on, guys. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make up for lost time. That's not how it works. So anyway, that's where that comes from. I mean, lottery tickets, all kinds of crazy things. Get rich quick schemes on the internet. Envelope stuffing.
Yeah, a lot of those are scams, so you might get poor quick.
Right. People are trying to make up lost time, and that is not how that works. Number 17, you don't stick to a budget.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we've mentioned this a few times.
Yeah.
So you have to have a plan. You have to stick to it. It's like if you have a diet and you know what the diet plan is, but then you don't follow the diet. Don't be shocked if you're still, a little chunky.
It is personal finance 101. It is a very basic part of personal finance. If you ran a business, Amanda, you owned a business, would you have a budget?
Yes.
Well, having a household and money coming in is a business. I look at life.
Even the biggest corporations have budgets. And that's what a lot of executives actually spend a lot of their time doing, is forecasting budgets for the next quarter, putting together budgets for the next year, and reconciling the expenses against budgets. You'd be surprised how much time and energy goes into budgeting at every size of company, and your household is your own corporation.
Absolutely it is. I treat my household as a business. You got money coming in, you got money going out, and if you don't pay your bills, you're not like a corporation where you can extend it.
Yeah, and hopefully you have a surplus each month and not a shortage.
Right. That's the way I look at it. I think it's an easy way to look at it. It's like, I'm running a business. It's your house, and you got to make money. And you have a responsibility to your shareholders, which would be your kids and so on. Number 18, you don't keep track of due dates. You've talked about that on Savvy Savings several times.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't turn out well. And those are lost monies, like overdraft fees, all those things, especially your banks. But you're paying unnecessary fees for what? Because you didn't pay a bill? That's crazy. That's throwing money down the toilet.
Yep. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
I like the other example you had here about not planning out trips and losing track of when they're coming up. You know, people plan trips and they book maybe a hotel or they book their flight. And sure, you pay for the flight up front, but a lot of times you book a hotel and you don't pay for it until you go. And it's easy to forget that that's an upcoming expense.
Yep.
Or you aren't budgeting the gas to get you there. Or, you know, you're not budgeting for your meals while you're there or all the other expenses that go along with the trip. And then suddenly the trip is upon you and then you're swiping your credit card.
Yep. There you go. Number 19, you buy depreciating assets.
Oh, like a car, a $25,000 car.
A boat, an ATV.
Yeah, what else?
But they call it investments for some weird reason. I don't know why people do that.
Or people who claim they're investing in jewelry like diamonds.
No, it all goes down. You're not Jay Leno buying expensive cars that go up in price. You're buying everyday cars. And boats. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number 20, you're unwilling to sacrifice, which is the number one reason people end up poor in some type of financial hardship is because of bad behaviors.
Filling their closet with all the newest Nikes.
There you go. Number 21, you're trying to have it all. People end up broke because they want too many things too soon, which is
probably... Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's okay to aim for having it all. It's just right. that if you're not in that position now, then you need to do that delayed gratification. So I like that you added too many things too soon.
Right.
Because I think it's okay to aspire to having it all. I mean, everyone should aspire to that. But if you try and have it all when you're not ready to have it all and you're not in a position for it all, then yeah, you're going to stay in the poorhouse.
There you go. Number 22, which I may have been slightly guilty for it, but yeah, not anymore as much. You're paying too much for your cell phone, meaning you always do the upgrade every year. You go from the iPhone 9, 10, 11, 12, because it's new. It's a status symbol because you guys show your friends, oh, look, I got the 12 when you only need a 6, stuff like that. Or... like you've talked about in your Savvy Savings about the cell phone plans.
Yep. Yep. And so interestingly enough, I saw that Ryan Reynolds is now an owner of Mint Mobile.
Really?
And they do premium wireless for $15 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. That gives you unlimited talk and text, nationwide coverage using 5G or 4G LTE, whichever is stronger. Yeah.
There's so many of these companies that are like that now. It's like
if you want unlimited, like unlimited data, and because the $15 is only 3 gigs a month, which for most, a lot of people, that's plenty.
Yeah.
But unlimited is only $30 a month. 8 gigs is 20. 12 gigs is 25. So that's super affordable.
I'm keeping my T-Mobile because I travel a lot, and I will, that should resume January.
I was going to say, well, you did travel a lot.
Yeah, I will be. Not with the airline thing, but with my other thing. That should be resuming here shortly. And I use my phone for my internet because of security. I prefer to use that. And T-Mobile is unlimited. And it works with all the countries I go to. But if I did not have that travel, I would probably bail out of T-Mobile.
Yeah.
If I was just staying local. But if I did international travel, I'd probably keep the T-Mobile. Because in the long run, I think it might be... I don't know, less expensive, but it does work in almost every country without doing anything. So last one, you don't have other sources of income.
Yeah, I like this one.
I love this one. I think
how many sources of income do you have, Craig?
Oh, my God. There's something that I've been telling people I don't want to say publicly, but it's like this year has been the... I know a lot of people got hurt this year.
Yeah.
Please don't take this wrong, but this has been the best income year I have ever had. I have so many.
I'm hearing that
sources.
From a lot of people. I'm hearing that from a lot.
But I've taken advantage of the situation. I'm like, okay, what can I do? So I have so many sources coming in now. It just boggles my mind. But I have.
Yeah, but you have like 4 or 5 sources at least, right? But
podcast.
To be clear, this podcast is not one of those sources of income.
No. No, I mean, we get a little bit from advertising, but it basically covers the cost of the hosting and all that. But at the same time, revenue sources are multiplied.
Right.
And it's like, I'm now trying to stay organized with it. And of course, the stock market keeps going up. So that's a whole another thing. It's like, this has just been one of those years. It's like, it's been crazy.
Right. But the other thing that is about, you know, the positive thing about having multiple sources of income is it's also a great insurance policy to pad you if that you suffer a loss of one stream of income.
Absolutely.
So if you're 100% reliant on one full-time job and you lose that job, then you're kind of behind the eight ball because it takes time to find another source of income. Whereas if you already had that stream coming in and you weren't relying on that extra income, but now it can become your main income while you look for something else.
It's always good to have side gigs, something you enjoy.
Rather than watching Netflix.
Everybody has a hobby.
Not to knock on Netflix. I love Netflix.
No, I'm not knocking on people watching TV. Everybody needs you. I watch a little bit. But there's so many different ways to make money with. You'd be surprised. Whatever you enjoy, there's probably a way to make money doing it while you're enjoying it. So if you would take the time to Google it, there's a great website called Google. If you type in, you probably find people making money doing what you already enjoy. Like, I did not know I could do that or I could sell that over here or teach this over a webcam or whatever. It's amazing. With the internet, you can virtually do anything you want. And you are the same level as someone else. Everybody's equal on the internet.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that was a really great list, Craig. Thanks for sharing. Why don't we take a break and then come back with, we've got, looks like, three quickie social media questions.
I love that. All right. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to three qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Even the brand new Amazon Music podcasts, we're literally everywhere. So,
yes.
If you're not listening, it's your own fault because we're paying for it and you're not listening.
Yeah.
Hey, we got three quickie questions from our listeners.
Yeah, these should actually, I looked ahead, I cheated. I flipped to the back of the book and looks like they're going to be pretty straightforward. Yeah.
All right. So let's do the first one. We owe $40,000 on our home and $48,000 on our motorhome. I want to pay off the home first. My husband wants to pay off the motorhome first. What's the best option?
Well, where are you living? Yeah, are you living in the motorhome?
Yeah, or the home.
Yeah, no, I'm joking because the baby steps are super clear on this. Yep, absolutely. You need to pay off all of your consumer debt, which includes this depreciating vehicle of a motorhome before you pay down your mortgage on your home. So I know it's tempting to go out of order here and pay the smaller debt first because you'll see progress and then you can do a snowball. But the correct order, unless you're doing Dave-ish, is to go with the motorhome first, pay off that $48,000, and then you can, you know, make sure you have a fully funded emergency fund and then throw all your money against your home mortgage.
There you go. And that motorhome is definitely depreciating at a much faster rate than your home ever will.
So, yes. So your husband is right in this case. Yeah. Don't let him know that, though.
Sorry. Yeah, no. There's a way around it. Just like, all right.
Number two. You'll have to say, well, you know, I thought about it and I agree.
Yeah. I'm going to let you win this one. Number two. I see that a lot of people in the group have paid off their cars. What's the best way to do this?
All right, your turn, Craig.
All right, Amanda, this is what we do. So the baby steps are perfectly clear, as you said in baby step one. And I know these very well, Amanda. So with a commercial debt in baby step two, we do smallest debt to largest. So you have all the small wins as we go on down the list. So let's say you had a car at $10,000 and a credit card at $12,000. Well, we pay off the car first. And whatever we did to pay that off, we roll it into the next one and so on down the list. So,
right.
We don't care about cars, interest rates.
Yes. Cars count as debts when you're making your list of debts. Cars need to be in the mix. Student loans need to be in the mix. Everything that you owe. If you owe grandma $500, that goes in the mix. So everything listed out. If you owe someone or something some money, it goes in the list and you pay the smallest one first. And then you add that payment to your next smallest one until everything's paid off. So you're going to pay minimum payments on everything else, but throw all your extra money at the smallest current one.
But wait a minute, man. I keep seeing this comment in our group. Oh, I'm debt-free except my car.
Yeah, then you're not debt-free.
Number three, when in baby step two and roof repairs happen at $750, do I pull from the $1,000 emergency fund, then pause baby step two, and then replenish baby step one?
I would say yes.
Yes. Yes, you go back and do that. But then once you pull out that $750 from the $1,000 in baby step one, we are now back in baby step one. We're not baby step two anymore. We've built up baby step one. So wherever you end up in the baby steps and you have to go back, well, you are now in that step.
And then it's kind of like chutes and ladders. And, you know, you made it through up to the next level. And now you just hit one of the slides and you slid down. Yeah. You got to keep building up again.
Yep. And same thing with baby step three, which is the fully funded emergency fund. If you end up using that while you're in baby step four, five, and six, well, now you're back there. You got to replenish your emergency fund. So you are back at three.
Yeah. Chutes and ladders, people. Yeah,
as I've done. It's like, oh, I got to buy a dishwasher. Well, now I guess I got to replenish that thing again. So same thing. That's it. Three easy ones. They keep showing up, but hey, if they're asking, we got to answer them. I'm sorry that was so rough on the questions there. Well, thank you very much.
No, great questions.
No, they're great. If they're asking,
I love softballs.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much, Amanda.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.